Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Perfectly Good Podcast, your favorite John Hiatt podcast, where we are counting down every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. I am one of your hosts, Jesse Jackson. Joining me, as always, is Sylvan Groth. Hello, Sylvan.
Hello, Jesse. And usually I am so self-depreciating by nature and a little bit shy that I might argue with that, but I'm still riding so high.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know when I'm actually going to come down from this cloud, but
I know. And it's a weird thing because, this is the first episode we're recording after we're recording this actually on April 10th. So just 2 days ago, we released Georgia Rae with our very spectacular special guest, Dancy Hiatt. And we had teased who is going to be, I don't think anyone specifically picked her.
Nope.
There was John, there was Lily, there was people like, oh, we aren't sure. And after we recorded this, we did mention a couple of times in the episode as a recording that it had been in the can, but we hadn't released it yet. We and I said, oh, wasn't it great to have Nancy on, even though no one knew it was. But this is the first one that we've actually been able to talk about everyone's response. And I'm just going to let you talk for a minute how you felt.
It was so wonderful talking to her. It definitely tested my limits of being able to hold a secret, because as soon as we stopped, first of all, I passed out for a split second and I had to run into the other room and breathe for a bit. And I just wanted to tell everybody under the sun. And I know that my friends are similar to me and that they can't keep a secret. So I had to be the one to hold on to this very special information. And I knew no matter how much we teased, everyone would be so thrilled with the episode. And I did get a couple of personal messages from people, both old high school friends who remember me talking about wanting to meet members of the Hiatt family, and some listeners to the podcast who talked about their own personal reaction to it. And it just kept on coming at me. And this is the hardest time of the year for me. March is a horrible month to live in Vermont. I can never remember literally a March where I was only looking forward and only having happy feelings. And then to have this at the beginning of April just explode my happiness and joy at being able to have that wonderful conversation. And thank you, Jesse, for having this idea and for being so gracious and making this all possible.
Yeah, it's a couple of things from my perspective. When Sylvan first brought this up, that this is a possibility, I was like, you're kidding. And we really tried not to get our hopes up too strong, because things happen. One of the reasons why I overbook guests on Set Lusting Bruce is I get people that for whatever reason end up can't making a session, and I don't want them to ever feel bad, even just from my attitude of, oh crap, I now don't have an episode to send out. So I was so hopeful. And then when she confirmed and we talked, and what was amazing is we had to do very little editing. that she was very open about everything that she shared. A couple things that stand out is I didn't want to embarrass her, but I told her that Linda, before we went to record, said, come back afterwards and tell me if Mrs. Hyatt is as great as you think she is. And mm-hmm. I said, I am very pleased to say I don't have to say I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I cut that out because I didn't know if it was just a little too fanboyish. And I will embarrass you a little bit with love. You had to go right afterwards. Like after she hung up, I've got to go, Jesse. Because I was like ready to do a recap, right? And you're like, I have to go. And I was so happy that how kind she spoke about you and how much she appreciated the love you've given to her whole family. And that touched me a lot.
She's just so gracious. And as I shared in the episode, this all kind of started decades ago that I had been giving to the John Hyatt Fund, which I encourage everybody to do, even though it might not work out that you end up being personal friends with Nancy at a recovery center in Tennessee called Cumberland Heights. It's cumberlandheights.org. It's a great organization. They do great work. They also often have an annual benefit for the John Hyatt Fund that you get to hear about before anybody else if you donate. But anyway, I had been making donations, and then one day I opened the mailbox and there was a handwritten note, which I figure was someone who worked for the organization saying thank you, but it was from Nancy herself. And from that point on, we've had a Facebook friendship. I'm not going to oversell it or anything like that, but there have been a couple of times where she has really lifted me out of dark times, even if she didn't know it. And as she said in the episode, she's a music fan first. So right. I really think that she relates to us. And I'm talking about you, Jesse, myself, and everyone who's listening to this, that if you are the kind of person who wants to sit and think about a song for an hour, you're Nancy Stanley's people, Nancy Stanley Hyatt's people. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I loved is that, as I'm known to do, is I can connect almost anything to Bruce. And in the podcast, I talked about Jimmy Buffett's song about it, Little Miss Magic, and Living Proof, Bruce's. And she actually listened to the songs, talked about how applicable they were and how much the joy of that. So that kind of made the internal Bruce geek in me very nice. My only regret is I didn't get to ask her the Mary question, but maybe next time we can do this. Yes. So hopefully. Yeah. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. I will tell you, I broke the secret a day early. Skip, who's been on the podcast with us, one of our earlier guests that does the Skip and Josh podcast, emailed me about something else. He emailed me about, hey, great job on Don McLean. You really are knocking it out of the park. And Eric Nadell, the Rangers announcer. And I said, coming up, you're going to have a pretty special one. He goes, oh. I said, okay, you can't tell anyone. You can't tell anyone. And I told him, and he was just like, just this exclamation, wow. Yeah. So I'm so happy that it worked out well. And we are going to try not to bug her too often, but there is an open seat for her coming up.
Yeah. And again, maybe I'm just riding high and I should shut my mouth about this kind of thing. But in that time that we were waiting to release the episode and today, I got to see Lily Hyatt in person live in concert again. And Lily said that once the tour calms down and she has some time, that she wants us to reach out and schedule something. So fingers crossed, we will get another Hyatt family member on here.
That's awesome. All right. We're going to get to this week's episode song in a minute, but I did want to also, once again, in a timey-wimey fashion, I just finished editing Girl on a String, an episode that you guys have already heard when you're listening to this, but you haven't yet. And I was really pleased how that came out. As you guys are well aware, Gil Davis, who joined us via phone for a couple of moments. And since then, she and I have emailed back and forth. I sent her a copy of the interview She loved it and appreciated us being on there. I ended up hoarding her autobiography and her latest CD because I've become a fan. I just think she is one badass woman and really was nice. So I hope everyone is going to enjoy that and has enjoyed it as our weird world of recording happens. All right. I think that's L. And hopefully you guys, if you didn't, we announced the winners in a standalone little episode, but in case you missed it, the winners of the two signed Michael Elliott books are
Jamie Rogers and Ted Mills. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Yay.
And thank you for the beautiful reviews and all your support that you have given us so often.
Yes, yes. And I also did want to say that a Lurdicht and Pratt posted on iTunes, great podcast if you love John Hiatt, one of the most treasured songwriters in America. Only Sly saw him love it with La Love It, hope to again. So thank you for that. It's always a joy when we get any kind of review, but Absolutely. On iTunes, it's always special because still to this day, a good chunk of people who listen to podcasts get it from iTunes. So please keep those coming. Okay, I think that's all our housekeeping. Let's get on to the episode. What are we talking about tonight, Sylvan?
Tonight, we are talking about Give It Up. Are we ready for Just the Facts?
We are so ready for Just the Facts.
Give It Up was track number 11 on Mystic Pinball, which was released September 25th, 2012. Hard to believe that is now a dozen years old. Second to last on that album. It's the third we've discussed from this album. That was produced by Kevin Shirley, mixed at The Cave in Malibu, California, though it was recorded in Nashville. And it features John Hiatt on acoustic guitar, Doug Lancio on electric, Patrick O'Hearn on bass, Kenny Blevins. Oh, I think might have, I'm going to have to crunch some numbers, the record for the most appearances on any John Hiatt song that has made it onto a studio album, because he's been on so many records and with good reason. I love Kenny Blevins. Sorry, side tangent there. Russ Paul on pedal steel guitar, Arlen Scheierbaum, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, on piano, and Doug Henthorn on harmony vocals. And I, doing a little bit more self-promotion, I want to try to dig out something interesting each time we talk about a little bit of self-promotion. I'm trying to bring out some facts about each song. And if I don't have, like, for instance, for Give It Up, I wasn't able to find any interesting covers to share, but I was able to pull up my old fan magazine, Slow Turning, which you can find on the johnhiattarchives.com. And Mystic Pinball was highlighted in issue 12. I found just a quote that I'd like to share, that John was talking to the Springfield Republican on masslive.com, and he actually compared Mystic Pinball to Slugline, which was the album that came out in 1979. John said, "I think Mystic Pinball has a little of that edge, especially in the lyrics. They're similar to the early days, but I'm different in that when I was young, I was a pissed off kid. And I'm not a pissed off kid anymore." So I think that was interesting given the lyrics that we're going to be discussing very shortly. But that pretty much wraps up Just the Facts for Give It Up.
All right. Well, I cannot wait to talk about this one. We're going to go over the lyrics. We'll talk about yay or nay and do our rating. But first, a few words from our kind sponsors. And we're back. So I am really curious your thoughts on this one. So I'm going to let you go first. What are your initial thoughts on this?
My initial thoughts is, I was trying to think back how active Shot of Rhythm, the email discussion group, was at this time. And I think it was about the time that things were quieting down, because this is the type of song that in the heyday of email discussion groups, your inbox would have been flooded with the subject line, "Give It Up," I think, because there's a lot open to interpretation. I think you can imagine that there is one version of the story or one version of characters, the narrator and who he's speaking to, or you can imagine that John is intentionally trying to talk on many different levels. And that's where the song got a lot more interesting for me, not to imagine who singular he might be talking to or about, but who in the widest number possible he might be talking to. What about you, Jesse?
I had not spent a lot of time with this song, and I was able to spend a lot of time over the past couple of days. And I agree with you on this assessment that, and there's a lot of layers on this. I think you can take this fairly literal, that this is get right, fly, sit up and fly straight, get right with God, sermon, or it could be a little bit more general terms about making decisions and bad choices. But I want to jump ahead because I'm really curious what number you're going to give this one in a numeric rating.
But we're not going to do that because that would be cheating.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to go through this first, which always goes, we, just in case you guys are ever in doubt, Sylvan and I never discussed back in the day, Show My Date, when Siskel and Ebert, they talked about, they did it back the scenes. They never spoke to each other before they started filming. They just, and
keep it organic.
And then that way, and so they never discussed beforehand what they were going to do. All right. So I guess I can start with the lyrics.
Sure.
So you take what you want, like you know what you need, and you run like a train till your mind doesn't strain to believe. Mm-hmm. And you see what you are, it's thin as a wire, and it trips you up every time you show your naked desire. My first initiation is this is very smooth. John is not, you talked about I was an angry young punk. This is a, there is a calm assurance in this, the way he's singing this lyrics, that I really find comforting. And it is almost sometimes when you shout for attention, but then you bring your voice down and all of a sudden your listener has to strain. I really am in love with his vocal performance on this. And it immediately evokes that you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I love this kind of lyric that, and so what are your thoughts on this initial lyrics?
I agree. It is beautiful in its simplicity and the way that John at his best is, that you can listen and have the rhythm and the meter of these lines work great. And it's pretty singable along, but I agree that he's putting some flourishes on there that are also really easy to not catch the first time around. But these, as I said, can be interpreted so many ways, and they are deep. Want and need are really interesting concepts to play with. And I love that he's saying that when you take something, you are just fooling yourself to think that you actually need it, which is how I interpret the first two lines. So you take what you want, like you know what you need. And this is really, I think, about the opposite of what we get from John and what we love from John, which is self-examination. Whoever he's talking to in this song has not done some self-examination for a while to their detriment. And John is pointing that out, not in a really hard-fisted way, or that all reads like he is trying to help this person, whether it is a version of himself, a past version, or someone, you know, the easiest interpretation that came to me is this is a song about getting someone into addiction recovery, but it could be many other things as well. So, and being tripped up by addiction and the naked desire, that can be pretty literal, or I think it could be a much grander version of desire and needing to pull yourself back from wants and needs.
Yeah, the Couple things there. One of the things that happened multiple years ago is Neil Gaiman wrote a episode for Doctor Who. And for those of you who don't watch Doctor Who, it's about an alien that travels in a blue box that goes all over space and time. And
also known as a TARDIS.
Yes. And often the plot drives on the TARDIS ends up not where he meant it to go. And Neil Gaiman had a line, and it's the Doctor's wife, and I recommend it strongly, even if you aren't a fan of Doctor Who. But somehow the TARDIS becomes a person, and he says, "You weren't very reliable. You didn't always take me where I wanted to go." And the TARDIS says, "But I always took where you needed to go." And I love the idea of that. You get what you need, and you don't necessarily know that's what you need. The other thing is, while you certainly can talk about this with addiction, I also think it can be blind ambition. The idea of you're putting work first and ignoring your family. You're putting your athletic endeavors and you're putting your health at risk. You're training too hard. You're not getting enough nutrition and you're overtraining your body. You are working 70, 80 hours a week to try to and not show your family how you feel when you realize needed to do that. Yeah, I think this is a multi-layered discussion that is wrapped up in a really beautiful song that is actually very pleasing to hear. All right,
yeah, instrumentation is so beautiful on this, and there's so much going on in between each of these short little lines.
Yes.
And before we move on from this idea of that great line of you take what you want, you know what you need, I have to throw out one of my favorite literary references, Oscar Wilde. One of my favorite quotes, which I gave in a sermon when I was preaching, was, "When God wants to punish us, he answers our prayers." And it's true, the more you think about it. If you have always gotten what you wanted, how unhappy would you actually be?
Yeah, the be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the great Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers, where sometimes life knows more what you need than you do. Yeah, oh, great reference. All right. What other podcast gives you Oscar Wilde, Neil Gaiman, Garth Brooks?
And
on
Garth
one
Brooks.
Segment. Yeah.
While there we go. Trying to unpack John Hyatt. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. All right.
Shall we get to the chorus?
Yes.
I guess it's not technically a chorus because he
not
does
yet.
Vary it each time.
Yes.
But give it up, give it up. Hasn't got you nowhere. Live it up, live it up. There's folks who love you back there. And I love that reminder of connection and other people. Get out of your own head. How about you, Jesse?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will give a plug to one of our fellow Pantheon podcast brethren, siblings. On this network, there is the Story Song podcast, where three old friends take a song and basically break it apart the way we do, but it's always a story song. And they always have a little bit of fun with it and make fun of it for the first part. Then the second half, they actually go into the song. As we're recording this, one of the last songs they did is "It Never Rains in Southern California," a great 70s story song where that the narrator, the singer, is in California and was supposed to be a big star, and it's not going anywhere. And he's talking to someone, and they debate who that is in the discussion. And he say, "Don't tell the folks back home what's really happening. Don't tell them. They think I made it." And I love that their discussion is probably the folks back home wouldn't care. But the idea of, right, give it up, hasn't gotten you nowhere. This whatever journey you're on, whether it's a physical addiction, an emotional addiction, it is a unhealthy lifestyle because of either work or whatever, it hasn't gotten you nowhere. Once again, you're not getting where you need, just what you believe. And remember, there's folks who love you back there. There are people that will love you no matter what. You want to keep going?
Sure. And if I see Sally, I'm going to tell her you care with that nasty old habit and not even a dollar to spare. Because she may still want to help you for the very last time. Because she knows how it works. She knows you have to make up your own mind. Rare occurrence of an actual name in a song that we don't have a direct reference to a family member of John, like Georgia Rae. And I had to tap some of my friends who have done 12-step programs and asked if there is something to the name Sally, the way that if you're ever in a conference or something and you see a sub-meeting of Friends of Bill W., that is Alcoholics Anonymous, and Bill W. was the founder of that program, so that's why they keep it anonymous by putting it that way. So I was wondering if there was some kind of code to Sally, and we did a little bit of digging and thought there was a couple of things, but none that were strong enough to say, oh, this is definitely what John is doing. So it could just be reference. I do feel like maybe one of John's sisters might have been named Sally, but I also don't have confirmation of that. It could have just been a nice rhyme, but here it is. We have a new character in the middle, and we have to wonder why the narrator is bringing it up to the person he's speaking to. I think it's often said that the cure for many ailments is connection. And that's what's happening here, that he's not only reminding the person that there are people that care about him, but that he cares about other people and that he should act accordingly. And he's reminding him that you've been helped and people's patience are going to give out. It might be the last time. And a very valid point that in the end, if someone doesn't want help, if they aren't ready for help, it's not going to work. And you have to make up your own mind that you deserve it and have faith in yourself.
And this is the most prevalent of saying why this is about someone's resistance to fight their addictions with the idea. By the way, side note, this is the second time we've brought Dragon Con up on Dragon Con's long, incredibly scheduled. There is a Friend of Bill segment every night around it toward the end of the evening, which I always find great comforting, since it is a convention that is very focused. A lot of, as my friend Tom said, in San Diego, people are drinking to dull the pain. At Dragon Con, they are drinking because they are having fun. So I think it's really well done. I think it's great. And then we go back to the chorus. And as you mentioned, they're different. Give it up, give it up. That limb is going to break. Give it up, give it up. How much more can you take? Give it up, give it up. You've got to do your share. Give it up, give it up. Somebody loves you back there. So I love that image of you on a thin branch.
Yes, right? And that is classic Hyatt right there.
Yeah.
That he doesn't paint the full metaphor. He just drops you into it and says, we all know what I'm talking about. And it's vivid. Yes.
And how much more can you take?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We often talk about, we'll discuss when we're watching something, a fictional movie or a TV show, and you're playing with fire. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the character, let's say the character has no interest in having an affair, but they like flirting.
Mm-hmm.
They like getting close and they like pushing the envelope, that edge. And how much more can you take, right? How much more can you go out on that very thin limb? Is just, it paints that very clear picture that this person is your own worst enemy,
mm-hmm.
right? And then And you've got to do your share, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take that first step. Back in the day when I was going to a lot of church, I was raised in a Baptist church, right? The pastor would always say, you've got to ask him in.
Mm-hmm.
He's too polite to go in without entering, right? You have to ask him. You have to take the first step. And I do think that when we talk about that, people that are facing addiction, that are going into rehab, right? It is something they have to make the decision. Because right. If you assign them that, it doesn't always take. The other thing I want to talk about is I love this musical interlude right here.
Mm-hmm.
I love just the complexity and the beauty of the music. This would be a beautiful song if it was an instrumental.
I agree. And I think you're onto something there with the complexity, that there is definitely a effort to compose something where each of the instruments are playing off of each other and adding to each other melodically and supporting the melody in their own way. And I think that is very intentional in the theme of these lyrics that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's also something almost reminiscent of the circus for me.
Yeah, and I think, can see that.
Yeah, that the tightrope walker and the idea that we're watching this person perhaps tempting fate to pull off a miraculous feat, but it is a toe tapper.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you want to keep going?
Sure. I'm trying to remember where we left off now.
And the nights get longer.
Okay, and the nights get longer. You wish the day didn't come. And the pounding in your head says you're hell-bent on killing someone. And the pain on your face, it's like a beast in control. And it feels like something's been torn from that hole in your soul. All delivered in this fun kind of light rhythm that we were just talking about, and the instruments playing off of each other, supporting each other. Those are some pretty dark lyrics. And again, we're not musicians. I'm pretty sure this entire song is in a major key. There's no minor keys being thrown in there to match this kind of dark, foreboding imagery. But he paints it right there that you're at your darkest moment and it's time to choose. What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, so here we get a little less vagueness, though you certainly can still mm-hmm. change the lyrics to be you are self-sabotaging yourself either through working too much or other unhealthy, but it appears to be someone who is dealing with substance. And it certainly, I want to make sure I'm not saying this proves that this is about substance. Mm-hmm. No, it's just this thing, right? The nights get longer and you wish the day didn't come. I'm dreading that mm-hmm. when the party ends and I have to go to my room alone and then I wake up with that dreaded hangover, that pounding mm-hmm. in my head and says you're hell-bent on killing someone, that the joke is no one talked to me till I've had my morning coffee, right? This is, mm-hmm. and the pain on your face, it's like a beast in control, is such, that's such a clear picture, right? Like they're mm-hmm. just underneath the surface is something really ugly that could come out. And
that moment in the morning when you look in the mirror, as most of us do, and you don't recognize self, and you also can, there is something kind of physical when your life is off the reins and you look at yourself like someone else is driving the machine that I don't recognize. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's feeling
again,
like
he does it in like six words.
Yeah.
It's very vivid.
Yeah. And it's feeling like something's being torn from that hole in your soul, that mm-hmm. that core being. And we'd go back, Sally would say, this isn't you.
Hmm.
This isn't my friend. This isn't my brother. This isn't my son. This isn't my daughter that mm-hmm. I know. You are not doing yourself. All right. You want to finish this up?
Sure. Give it up. Give it up. You got to do your part. Give it up, give it up. All you got to do is start. Give it up, give up. While there's someone to save, give it up before crying in someone's grave. Give it up before we're crying in someone's grave. And again, you could come to this not paying attention to the lyrics and think that John is talking about going to a party. There's just some kind of like joyousness in it. I think works because he's giving a little bit of a promise of what life could be if you follow exactly what I'm asking for you to give it up. That he's not trying to scare the person. He's trying to give them a lifeline and a little bit of hope and saying that you are there. There is someone to save still. You're not beyond redemption, but it's also possible that you could go past that point of turn.
Yeah, I love that he is sitting there bringing it home, but not in a fire and brimstone, you're going to go to hell if you don't cake this. I love the idea of him sitting there. And once again, he re-stresses, all you got to do is start. There is a world of people that want to help you. All you got to do is raise your hand. This is very spiritual, very religious, wrapped in a beautiful bow of music that is joyous and happy. And I love your thought that this is, he's showing, instead of cursing the darkness, lighting a candle. Look, let me show you. This is the carrot. I'm not going to talk about the stick. You're living with the stick. Here is the carrot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that says it all. And I think that is exactly why he made the choice to pair these words with the tune that we get. Because he's trying to offer the person the happiness that they are not feeling currently. And I think it might even be a lesson for people who are seeing someone suffer in this way, that you can't just tell them how awful it is. They know how awful it is. You have to remind them that there's something better and that it's possible that there's something better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Any other thoughts?
I don't want to get too into rating yet, but I think this is an example of a song that really I hadn't looked at in the way that I did preparing for this podcast, because it fits so nicely into the whole that is Mystic Ball, the album. We started this journey, it felt a little blasphemous because I always have felt, and when my family was introduced to John, they said, this is one of those guys that you have to listen to the whole album from start to finish. It doesn't work to pick and pluck. And I just really wanted to say that it was so fun listening to this song, but it made me want to listen to Mystic Pinball from start to finish.
Yeah.
As often as I was listening to this song. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I really enjoyed the time with the song and felt that this seems so effortless, yet I am sure that, as Nancy talked about, like she goes, the finished product is always
close
fun.
Close the door. Tell me
yeah,
when it's
close
done.
The door. Yeah. Because I imagine this took, and it would, this is going to come across very condescending, but I think this shows a maturity of John as a songwriter. I think that as we are going through this alphabetically, we flop back and forth between the styles. And often on some of the earlier stuff, we'll go, I would love to see older John, more experienced songwriter John, take on this subject, because I think he could do it better. And I think whatever this is, I think it's vague enough that you can make this personal for you about what you're wanting to do. I think you could very much, if you were someone who was facing a strong illness, a cancer or something, right? Mm-hmm. You could say, give it up. You've got to do your part, but you've got to let other people help us. You've got to have faith in the medical systems. You have to trust the journey on that. So I could see how this could be something very personal to someone. And Georgia Ray, Have a Little Faith in Me, Slow Turning. Those are the songs that when I originally think, God, this will be a blast doing this with Sylvan. These are the things that you go, gosh, I'm glad we do this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But it not only is one song of many of stellar songs on an album, the Kevin Shirley years were really impressive. And they just seem to come so fast that, and they're not as old. So we haven't listened to them as often, at least I haven't. Right. So it is a little easy to overlook some of these. But I mean, I was also just thinking that it would be really fun to listen to this song with Alone in the Dark as a little two-piece, because I think they're two sides of the same coin. There is the creature that has a beast in control with pain on their face that you hear speaking in that song from Bring the Family, which I believe was our first five-star song. And then you have the person who 26 years later is talking as the person who's offering a lifeline to someone in that position. And thank God we have lost if John didn't make the decision that this narrator is asking someone to make again.
Yeah.
And, as one interpretation, but it seems pretty easy to make it.
And we talked about this, I believe, but Lily, on her introduction to one of her songs, said, I'm mostly grateful for my father for getting sober, so he was able to be my father. So, yeah. So as things schedule, I am the one who's works out that I'm supposed to give a number first. So I don't want to overcompensate, because I feel like, to a certain degree, I'm Andy and this song is Buzz, right? Like, this is new. It is shiny. I am loving it. So I'm going to give it a 4. I do not think it is a 5-star classic, but I think this is a really strong song that I absolutely would want to be on a mixtape, giving it to someone to see some different sides of John. So I'm going to go 4.
You raise a very good point that it is a different side of John. And as I've been saying, these lyrics are simple, but they're perfect. And they're exactly what we expect from this wordsmith. And the melody is fun. It's a beautiful message. It does tell me something about life. However, there's just so many great songs that I have to give it the 3. I have to give it that this is a really solid, but not leaning toward the best of what he's got. I think mostly just because I hadn't really thought about it. It does feel like a piece of the puzzle rather than something that could stand alone on its own. And to pull back the curtain a little bit, listening to it on repeat all day in preparation, I was listening to it with another song, and I felt like one of these is a 3, one of them is a 4. That's your incentive to tune in next week for our next song.
Okay, fair enough. I actually went the other way, that I would have, once again, because we don't do halves, I think this is better than a 3, right? Okay. And so therefore, I think it's better than a 3, I probably would have given it a 3.5. But since it's not, we go round numbers, I think it's better than a 3 and 4. So
And I'm happy that you gave it a 4, because I wasn't sure. I was on the edge, and I think where we ended up
makes
perfect sense.
We haven't done this in a while, but one of the inspirations of this podcast is J.B. Clark and Rob Carmack, who did Bruce Springsteen in alphabetical order. They're taking a hiatus right now, but they went through every Springsteen song in alphabetical order. And that was a conversation that often happened, that Rob or JB would give it a higher number. And the other one's like, I'm really glad you did that. It was very, it wasn't this, no, I can't believe you. It was like, this song deserves that higher rating you're giving it. Not right. For me, but in that. So very nice. JB, Rob, we miss you. And we got to get you two on this podcast sometime.
Yes, I would love that.
Yeah.
And that being said, like if I had ever drunk and I made the choice not to, for many reasons, to ever start, I probably would have rated it a 4.
Okay. Interesting. Because I'm someone who also has probably the amount of times I've actually, if you don't count just having a sip of something, it's pretty low. And since my surgery, I don't drink at all. But even before that, it may be a girly drink twice a year.
Right.
But yeah. Just for a lot of reasons too. So nice. But maybe you think this is crap. And you're like, why are you guys giving love for this song? Tell us how they can give us their feedback, Sylvan.
They can, of course, find us on Facebook, where we have the Perfectly Good Podcast page. We often make comments on the John Hiatt fan group. They can send us an email at perfectlygoodpodcast@gmail.com. I am Sylvan Groff on Facebook. I am also on X as Sylvan Green Eyes. And of course, you can leave a review at any of those places that we were talking about. How about you, Jesse?
Well, I am at Jesse Jackson DFW on X. The show is at Perfectly Good PD because we ran out of letters. We do not spend a lot of time on X. In fact, Sylvan and I were like, do we have a Twitter account? And I double checked we do. And we would love to. I'm also on Facebook. And so we would love to hear your feedback on what you think of the songs. And we will go. We are going to be coming up on Have a Little Faith, and we are having some different plans on that. Listen to that. We'll come up. We want to give everyone a chance to share their thoughts about that. So look for more details on that. And thanks for joining us on this journey. And let us know, as we said at the very beginning of the episode, if we're doing something you like, please let us know. If you think we could do something better, please let us know that too. Even that,
yeah, including
nice...
Hey, you dinosaurs, we want to get in touch with you on this platform that you're not on yet.
Yes, exactly.
That's appreciated.
Yeah, that would be very appreciated. All right, so I think the only thing left to say is have a little faith.
Have a little faith, Jesse. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Baby, we can come on.